Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 157. I'm your host, Jose. Thank you so much for listening. Today's guest, we have in a wonderful, wonderful business owner by the name of Susie Diamond. If you haven't known Susie or heard of Susie, well, let me introduce you. She is the CEO of Rolling Rack Boutique. Now, what makes Rolling Rack Boutique very unique is that they are a mobile boutique, meaning that this truck, huge truck, semi-truck, is, well, I don't know if it's semi-truck, but it's a giant truck. They go and move from place to place, but right now they're parked over at the Fashion Quarter for Scottsdale Fashion Quarter, I believe. It's been a while since we talked, but we sat down back a couple of weeks ago, and we chatted about how they built this massive thing, how this business has taken over their lives, but they love doing it, and how they got here. So thank you so much to Susie for coming in. She was a delight and in very much a energy that is meant for the business of sales, the business of fashion. So I wish her nothing but the best of luck. Moving into a little bit more of the business side again, Finding Arizona Podcast can be heard at www.findingarizonapodcast.com. That's our website. You can sign up for our newsletter, which goes out every Friday. You'll get the week's events, everything that's been going on with us, any new updates. Also, if you'd like to sign up for our Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. You'll receive extra content, all the videos. I'm working on the videos right now, but we also are doing what we call fine examination. It is our bonus content, our bonus round, where we ask 50 questions of every guest that we have on here, what they like and what they don't like. It's a little something that they enjoy doing right after the podcast, and they just get to tell me a lot of cool stuff about themselves. And we always enjoy it at the end. It's always a good time. Last but not least, we are doing a blog, and Brittany does a wonderful job on that blog. And I'm highlighting the blog because everyone's been excited to hear about what we've been doing behind the scenes and just kind of getting to know us a little bit better. And you'll get to do that more and more because Brittany is going to be doing a lot more with that side. She's fantastic. So shout out to the blog. Shout out to Brittany. Thank you so much. And last but not least, we move into the last portion of our intro, which is the community corkboard. Yes, I enjoy it. If you like to be on the community corkboard, you can send me an email at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you have in mind and we'll share it up there on this intro and we'll put it in the lineup. Also on top of that, you can also just send us an email if you want to help, you know, maybe you want to be a part of our actual company and want to help sponsor one of the commercials on here. You can also do that. We make it available for you guys because we want to really help Arizona businesses. So let's jump into a little bit of the community side. I feel like I should have an intro song, but we'll work on that. First up, we have New Times November Festival today, November 10th, from 1 to 5 p.m. over on the 100th block of West Washington Street in Phoenix. So you guys got to go check that out. That's always a good time. Just a lot of beers going around. Just an enjoyable taste testing area. Next up, we have the Mac and Cheese Fest, which I think me and Britt will probably make a stop at. That's November 17th and 18th. Over at the Salt River Fields in Scottsdale, Arizona. So you can get your tickets only online at macandcheesefest.com. Next up, Cultivate, the Tucson pop-up, their holiday pop-up. And I think that is going to be in Saturday, December 1st. And you guys have to go check this out. If you get a chance, make some time, head down to Tucson. Go check this little market out. We love everyone over at the Cultivate, and it is just an enjoyable little community that they have down there and what they what all the entrepreneurs do down there. So you Tucsonians, very much congratulations, good luck with that. I think a couple of our friends will be there, so hopefully we'll make a stop down there and say hello. Last but not least, and of course we have a little bit of bias over here at Finding Arizona Podcast because we have best friends that we love highlighting, and of course we know that it's kind of a little unfair, but you know what? It's my podcast. I just really want to highlight these guys. Keep Nature Wild, my buddy Cameron. Thank you so much for being the person you are. We will be at the Lake Pleasant cleanup. That is going to be Friday, November 23rd. That is the day after Thanksgiving. And we always try to do this, Brittany and I, and we're always advocating for cleanup and you know, just taking your outdoors seriously. And Cameron's also in that realm, and we love doing these cleanups. We love Keep Nature Wild, and we love the company that they represent. So that'll be, you have to register for these cleanups, so go to keepnaturewild.com, register for one of the cleanups. There are more available, but we will be at this particular one right after Thanksgiving, and to just give back in our community. The next couple of cleanups that you, if you can't make it to the November one, there's a December one over in Mesa, Arizona. And there is a December or January one, January 2019, that is sounds pretty cool. It's over at the Sugarloaf cleanup in Fort McDowell. So look out for those, register for those. Shout out to Cameron, to everyone working over at Keep Nature Wild. You guys are the best. And that wraps up our community cork board. We hope you guys enjoyed this intro. We hope you guys will participate with us. All the social media is Finding Arizona Podcast. We make it easy for you guys to hit us up, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And with everything, we roll right back into this podcast, episode number 157 with Rolling Rack Boutique. Let's go. All right, let's jump right into this. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jose. Today, we have two very special guests. I'm assuming you guys are co-owners. We didn't go over this, but you guys are co-owners. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I am Susie Diamond, the main owner.
Main owner, yeah.
I'm Matt Diamond, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. And why don't you tell us what your business is called and what is it about it that we're going to be discussing today.
Okay, so we are called Rolling Rack Boutique. We are a traveling boutique. So instead of serving tacos, we're serving fashion, I say. We've gained the reputation of Beverly Hills on Wheels. We are truly a boutique. So it's not like a small van or like a, you know, we are 40 feet long. We have chandeliers, faux fur ceilings.
Yeah.
Fitting room, air conditioning, French doors, red carpet. Like it's amazing.
It sounds amazing. I've seen a couple of the photos. She showed me a couple of the Instagram shots and I was just like, dang, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So what makes someone, because we've seen some mobile stuff. We've actually had a mobile beauty boutique that we did. And I've always been fascinated about like this idea of like you take something and then you add wheels to it, or you add that mobility part to it, something different to kind of really shake up some stuff, and but also kind of add limits and add certain criterias to what you can accomplish and where, you know, that sort of stuff. So let's get into it. Why would someone want to make this kind of mobile fashion industry on wheels?
So I, you know, my dream was always fashion. Life kind of happened, you know, you divert paths. So in my 20s, I got into banking. And then when I turned 40, we kind of had a bunch of events. My dad got cancer and he passed. Mm-hmm. And it was at the same time I kind of went to my husband, Matt, and I said, you know, my dad and I had conversations of just living your life. And, you know, he was kind of reflecting on things he didn't do. And I just told my husband, I gotta get out of banking. I'm dying. Mm-hmm. I have to do it now or never.
Now or never.
I don't think he quite thought I was gonna be like the next day. I was gonna go in and be like, I'm done. I'm out of here.
You're expecting like a range of like 3 months.
Yes.
Like give me some leeway time to like figure some stuff out.
It was all at once.
That's kind of my thing. It's like I gotta do it now and then that's it. And then I'm all in. So
Well, tell, give me a little bit of background on like how your, you know, what led up to that like moment. Besides talking to your father, was like there other conversations of like this position that I'm in already just isn't working? Was there, what was that? Especially when you're married and like together, those kind of conversations are hard.
Yes.
I can say that from experience to have. So what was that like for you, especially Matt? Like,
well, he had to hear me bitch for quite a long time about my job.
And it was the drive,
you know, it was just
drive to the office 30 miles each way
to somewhere I hate, to somewhere I can't. And it's kind of slowly crept up. Like, I had a good career. I had a great corporate career. I made great money, great benefits, great retirement. And a lot of people think I'm absolutely insane that I just walked in and like,
boop, see ya.
But it was just, you know, it was kind of like it just was leading. It wasn't like it was a 10, probably my whole 30s, right? I was pretty miserable, my 30s. And, it just was kind of just that moment of, all right, it's got to be now. Of course, you know, looking back, we did buy the truck early and I kind of hung in to the job a little bit. But then I just went in one day and I'm like, that's it. You know, we got to hurry it up.
6 months into it. Yeah. She's like, get it done. Yeah.
So what was the experience like buying the, you know, buying the vehicle? And like, I'm assuming that you kind of renovated it a little bit and kind of taking out all the unnecessary items and put in the...
Yeah, by trade, what I do, I build hot rods and custom cars
for
a living. So
that's freaking cool.
It was an easier transition for me to be able to envision what Susie wanted to complete her ideas and kind of put them into a tangible...
Yeah.
Format, I guess.
Did you kind of go about it as like any other kind of assignment or, you know, kind of project that you get handed to you? Do you kind of...
I had really liked to problem solve, I guess, is the best way to...
Yeah. One thing comes up, deal with it. Another thing comes up, deal with it.
Yeah, especially nobody's done this before, so there's really no kind of formula for it.
Got
it.
And I wanted really big when I was, So when when we were planning,
if we're doing this, we're gonna do it.
So you can sense my personality a little bit. So I told him, I tasked him with, it's got to be bigger than any, because there are mobile little boutiques out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to be bigger, better. I've got a
French doors. Yeah. In the back. We have a porch that folds down on its own.
Nice.
With linear actuators. So I had to build all that type of stuff. So that was kind of my role in it. She kind of had
this director.
Vision of, I want this, and I had to kind of translate her ideas into a practical format.
Yeah. So the back of the vehicle is kind of like your main entry, I'm assuming. Now that you bring up the French doors in the back of the vehicle, or
so it's a U-Haul. It's an old U-Haul that is restored. So the sliding, you know, the back door, he took that off and put the French doors in. And everybody said, the minute you hit a bump, the doors are just going to fly off. And the glass, I'm like, he's a little smarter than that. Like,
so I had to engineer a structure and build all that to be able to accommodate the doors to be in a box.
Yeah.
There's a little more involved with the way the box, it actually is not a static box. It's fluid, it moves. They're designed to move down the road. So there was a lot of engineering that came in to play to be able to not just put the doors in, but all the product and everything in there and have it be practical where we could set it up and tear it down in a reasonable amount of time.
So now that you bring that up, what is the reasonable amount of time for you guys beginning to end? What does that look like for you guys?
So when we pull up, first thing, he's got to get the AC going. So we jump out, he gets the propane going, so the truck immediately starts cooling down.
Got it.
In our worst month, in July and like August, when it was really rough, it was a good hour and a half to 2 hour cool down. So, I mean, we learned. I mean, we launched it the worst time. We were supposed to launch last fall. Uh-huh. And of course, with as big as I wanted and adding things on and giving him all new things to do.
Wait, what?
Yeah, right. So we literally launched in April. And so we, you know, the first few outings were just kind of trial and error. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was a good 2 hours cool down. So we've learned things this summer that we need to kind of put into place for next summer,
yeah.
To kind of, you know, twerk and change. But yeah, we roll up, we get the AC going, he gets the stairs down. And then once the stairs are down, I'm in, I start on bungee cording, everything, decorating, getting, you know, everything. If there is any fallout from a bump or anything, you know, getting everything straightened out, we've yeah. gotten it down to like a good 20 minutes.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is really solid.
Yeah. It especially was at first, it was like an hour. I'm like, what is this?
No, I definitely can understand, like, when we first did our live events, like, we didn't know what we were doing. Yeah. We were just kind of like winging it, yeah. so to speak. And when we were doing the live events, I was like, what am I going to do? And so I just kind of like started doing it. And yeah. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So we got something here. And yeah. just from that, like, first time, you kind of like work out the kinks, kind of right. figure out what you don't need, what you get. And it's always good to have those kind of like first yes. trial and errors.
Yes.
And where did you go for that first couple of times?
So we were in downtown Gilbert. We kind of partnered with a couple restaurants down there, mm-hmm. and which was good. It was close to home. So we could actually, and it wasn't, we didn't really advertise a lot our first going out because yeah. we didn't know. And it was a good, it was actually my first night, and we had a ton of girls in the truck that were getting ready to go to Whiskey Row.
Yeah.
And they're actually like buying their clothes and changing and leaving right from the truck. But we didn't know how long the propane would go with the AC. So literally I have a truck full of people. It's my first night and it goes boom, boom, boom. And it like cuts and the electric goes out, the air goes out. And good thing they were all good. They were like, it's a club. And they like, don't, you know, they're like dancing. Cause there was like a little like, you know, like light flicker. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so we learned, okay, the propane is going to be this X amount of time. So he can now head it off and, you know, change it out before yeah. anything like that happens.
Well, that's good, too. I mean, you kind of like need that first goes like, yes. What is the time limit of like from one full yep. tank? How can we blast this and like get the full max range out of it?
Right.
So.
Yeah, we've added another air conditioning unit since the original time we were out. So, you know, we have two AC units in there. Everything's insulated. So, you know, there's always problem solving as you're
doing something
with it. And something will always arise, you know. I mean, but that's why I'm there.
That's why he's there.
Yeah.
And so she can run the store and I'm just kind of hiding in the background.
Well, it's good to have your builder, the person who created this thing, and there constantly. It's just like if there is a hiccup, you can easily address it because you're the person who knows
absolutely
the ins and outs of it. And so that's always solid. And this is Bobo. Hi, aww. Bobo. Let us, like, what was kind of like some of your, what's some of the challenges? Because I'm drawing back to what Skylar asked you and kind of the yes no situation and kind of hearing the knows and kind of debating, like, you know, your career and having let go of your job and all of these things. What are some of the challenges as an owner of something so unique and so you know, extraordinary and unique in this situation? It's like, how do you go about dealing with stress and dealing with the no's and dealing with all of these other negativities towards something like this?
Right. You know, what's funny is in my mind, when I left banking, life was going to be perfect. Like, I was going to be in my dream job.
Yeah.
There would not be any problems. Like, you know, you're doing something you love, so it's perfect, right? Like, yeah, in my mind. So I get into this and I remember I had like my first meltdown, and it was like in the same day I had a designer wouldn't allow me to sell their product in my truck, and they were really crappy about it. Like, they were really rude about it.
Yeah.
And then I had a retailer not want me in there around their space, and they were rude about it.
Ooh.
And then I had like something else. It was like, and I was, remember I was sitting there and I was like crying. And I'm like so stressed out. And then I remember in that moment I'm thinking, it doesn't even matter what you do. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what you're doing, whether it's like your happy place, which it, you know, it is, I'm doing what I love, but there's still crap. There's still crappy people. There's still stress. There's still no's. There's still, you know, like, and it was the same feeling.
It's also like the idea of like, you do so much in your own world and your own responsibilities, and you kind of, but your market is these other people, and you're, you know, you need them.
Yeah.
And it's so fundamental to like think, being nice to someone, just being genuinely nice, is like,
it's hard sometimes to realize, like, these people also have their ins and outs, right. And like, you're doing everything that you can, and you're just right. Like, why are people being crappy to
right.
me?
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and you know, when we, before the truck was done and I'm trying to get designers, you know, of course they think I'm in a pickup truck at a swap meet and mm-hmm. like, you know, and actually a lot of them, I had to sign contracts just that I would not do flea markets or yeah. I would not do, you know, I have designers that are in Nordstrom. So I have to be very, I can't do, you know, events like, you know, Phoenix Flea, I'd love to get out there, but yeah. I can't, I yeah. can't be with, you know, my labels in that mm-hmm. kind yeah. of atmosphere. So it's navigating. And that was what I kind of brainstormed and thought of the malls. And I'm thinking, all right, I need to get to the mall. I mm-hmm. mean, I'm a store, right? So yeah. I had to pitch them. Basically, I have the best thing in the world and you need me there. Yeah. And I'm getting all this attention because I was very lucky. I did get a lot of media because of how it looks. I got mm-hmm. news segments. You know, we had like a Vanderpump Rules thing. I styled a couple of those girls. So I was very lucky early yeah. on. So because of that, I was able to take that and go to these executives at Kierland and at Scottsdale Quarter mm-hmm. and be like, you need me. You need something you need like this here.
Unique. Yeah. Right.
I mean, this is what, because, you know, malls are losing foot traffic too. People, online world is killing everyone, which mm-hmm. is kind of why, well, not kind of, but why I did the mobile boutique. I yeah. didn't want to go into a brick and mortar and be out of business in 6 months.
Yeah. You wanted to inject that ability to have the scarcity of these designers
right.
injected into a place where, you know, let's call a spade, these malls are dying and
right.
people are going to them less and less.
Yep.
And so to inject this kind of new life into it is, and being so mobile and being right. the capabilities that you guys have is just... It's extraordinary right. that it's right. someone like yourself sees the opportunity. Now, did you hear any like backlash from the mall owners or some of the brick and mortar stuff? What were their comments and kind of their overall? I mean, not everyone will be on board.
Right.
There are some people who only feel like the mall is the mall.
Right.
You either are with us or against us,
right.
that sort of deal. So
yeah, no, I Scottsdale Quarter, that's actually going to be going forward our home base.
Nice.
They've been
shout out Scottsdale Quarter for being so open.
They are amazing, and I shout out big time because Richard, the general manager there, he's like, I am open to anything. I, you know, love yeah. having you here. Let's market. Let's make you successful. Like, he's really coming at me like a team.
That's awesome.
The funny thing is that when I have people come in, I get comments like, I can't believe they just let you park here. And I'm saying, I did not just roll up to the mall and be like, here I am.
I worked my butt off to get here. Yeah,
I have a lease. It is per square foot, just like any store here. Like, they think I really just like rolled up and took my chances and like,
yeah.
you know, here I am. And they're like in disbelief that the mall, and I'm like, no. This is like months of a negotiated contract
yeah.
lease. I mean.
It's really incredible that like that's the approach that they came about. It's like
yeah.
you're gonna be here, you're gonna be a store, but
yep.
we have to treat you like
absolutely.
this sort of
right.
cosmic thing,
right?
Like,
well, one, I don't want to tick off, you know, the stores in there pay a lot of money
yeah.
for their a lot of money, so of course they're not gonna let it's parking, but it's at a value. I
mm-hmm.
mean, I'm
yeah.
still parked in a great spot in the middle of, you know, the corridor where people walk, so it is valuable
yeah.
property. And I never thought that I would ever get it for free or for, you know, minimum. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say Scottsdale Quarter, as opposed to another mall across the street, has been absolutely
amazing. We won't mention them. Don't.
They have been phenomenal.
They get it. They think outside
yeah.
the box.
They really
they
do.
They see the bigger picture
yeah.
than
right.
The traditional
mm-hmm.
mall.
Right.
You
the
know,
prototype
model
yeah.
that they're
right
doing.
And shout out to Sephora at the quarter two. We're actually collaborating. We're doing a lot
oh,
of events
awesome.
Through the fall together. So it's really the great thing is meeting these open-minded people who
mm.
really see this as a unique thing that if
mm.
we collaborate, we are better together.
Absolutely.
And that's the people I just want to be around, because I have a few that don't, you know, aren't that way. And the unity of just, you know, having Sephora want to come to my truck with their girls and do mini makeovers and get people.
yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. To me, yeah. that's phenomenal. I mean, Sephora.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Awesome. Like to have that collaboration, to have those
right.
people really, really take trust in you.
Right.
And yeah.
A rising tide floats all boats.
At,
you know?
Exactly,
so if
right?
Everybody's helping each other out.
Yep.
Everybody's going to do better, you know? So to not be in an opposition with each other.
Yeah.
If everybody's kind of helping each other or friendly, everybody's going to benefit
from it.
Yeah.
As opposed to clawing on the backs of everyone else to stomp them out. Everybody in the community should embrace each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we like to surround our people, us, with the people that kind of have those similar views because it doesn't make sense to, you know, it's so tough.
And yeah, it's hard enough.
Everybody's combative anyway, you know, so if you surround yourself with those people that are helping you, and then everybody can benefit, it's just, it's a way better.
That's what we're trying to encourage here is that as we've grown and kind of done these episodes after episodes, we've really encouraged others to kind of collaborate with one another. And just from my, like, I would love to see you go with the Mobile Beauty Boutique and kind of do like something together like that, where it was like they have an Airstream. So theirs is just like one of those trailer like Airstreams, but they managed to do weddings, quinceañera, like they do everyone there at the like home, and then that situation is just, I think it's so beautiful to kind of have this ability to go from place to place and have the traverse uniqueness of what you have inside and kind of creating your own space and creating something really special for the experience that they're getting. The other aspect is I want to ask you, and I know, I don't know, you had brought up your dad, but was he able to see?
No.
What do you think that he might say right now if he saw what you've accomplished so far?
I think he'd be super proud. Yeah, I know for a fact. I think he would. So my dad was very, a lot of the reason why he didn't do a lot of his dreams is he was very, you know, he was a risk taker, but he was also, you know, he was a lawyer for the state for 30 years. But
get out of town.
Yeah.
That's really
but
great.
He was also a professional gambler on the side. So
what?
So he had this dual, he had this dual kind of personality where he was played it safe, but then, you know, this other side. So
I think when you have that thing in your life where it's like, I got this really good safety net, and then you're just kind of like, well, how far, where's that line? Like,
So, and you just nailed it on the head. Like, he did have that safety net. So I think for him, his biggest thing would have been my quitting. He would have probably been like, I think you need to slow down and, like, get this off. I know 100% that would have been his, why don't you just work until the truck's done, do a couple weekends, see how it goes. But he also knows me, and I am him. His personality times 10. So I'm the professional gambler side more than the lawyer side.
Well, it's a good gamble. I mean, I think that what you have here is something really beautiful and unique, and just kind of like, I wish that you would have. I told him, I was like, I wish you would have brought it. I would have loved to see it in person.
Would you live Insta, live podcast from there one day? We'll get like a big event and do like a live thing there.
We did one with the Mobile Beauty Boutique where we were just like jamming out and going to town with some girls, and we were just like in there with them and just kind of like talking. It's like, so which, you know, what does someone experience once they go step in between the doors? Let's talk about this. So when they cross over the threshold of the double swing French doors, what do they experience inside?
So first thing is jaws drop, and they can't I mean, it's overwhelming. I mean, you walk in, we've got you know, like faux wood floors, we've got faux fir ceilings, a chandelier, I've got you know, brick, kind of faux bricks, but you know, it's very, it's so chic, like it just feels like you're in a store.
It's kind of got a Soho vibe to it, like you know,
it's California meets New York. It's kinda both, like it's got both
from East Coast, New York area. She's from West Coast, from California. So it's kind of
what part of East Coast?
In New York.
In New York, I'm from. I grew up in Allentown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
Whitestone, right? Whitestone.
Queens.
Yeah. So. And then what part of Cali?
I'm from Ventura.
Okay, she's from Imperial Beach, San Diego.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she's south than we are. We're right outside of we were right outside
opposite
of LA.
Opposite sides of the country, but you know.
Yeah, so the truck really feels like that. And they walk in, we did a selfie station when we were designing this. One, we had to have a fitting room. Mm-hmm. And I was debating, do I do one fitting room or two fitting rooms? But then I was thinking, what else will go next level? And we put in a selfie station. Like, we have the ring light. We have
nice
a full on selfie wall. It's pretty cool with the logo. So like people gravitate towards that. And yeah. It's brilliant because they're taking their selfies and my logo's flashed right, you know, in the background. Of
what's the logo
cool
made
wall
out of?
It's what is it? Just vinyl? Like it's yeah, got,
it's a vinyl sticker.
Yeah. But we've got like all the pretty flat, you know, it's like the nice background that everybody wants. And of course the lighting. So
I'm thinking about renovating this and I have to like come up with some cool station areas. And yeah. like, I got to build a closet and then a pantry. And then, so it's like, the idea is like, what do I want on the exterior of right. like in this room? And one of the ideas is like building a selfies, like cool.
Oh, like a little step and repeat, like with the background.
Yeah, exactly.
And like do the pictures.
I've always wanted one. Yeah. And the step and repeat is always easy enough to do because I designed
the logo.
And then
you put your logo all over it.
Exactly.
And it goes out and look, yeah.
One of the big things is I want to get a big one right there on the glass door that's like frosted.
Yeah.
And just like make it really look.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then get everybody their pictures out. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then once you have like the A celebrities in here, then it goes like viral everywhere.
Exactly. Well, speaking of A celebrity, what was that experience like with the girls from Vanderpump?
Yeah. So yeah, it was really cool. We met Sheena in Vegas.
Nice.
And yeah, we had a you know, organic meeting, organic connection.
Very
and
cool.
We have this It's All Happening tattoo, which this was another part of my midlife crisis, I call it. After my dad died, I started out with a tribute to him with the
aww,
dice for It's All Happening, and then it turned into
a full sleeve.
Yeah. It's all the way. But so she, you know, it started with, what does that mean for you, kind of. She had asked me, and you know, we shared our kind of lives, and she's like, I'm on board, what can I do? And I'm like,
nice.
You charge $100,000 a post, nothing for me at all can you do? I can't. She's like, no, I like free.
Yeah.
Like, what can I do?
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And we stayed connected after that meeting, and I thought there was no way that she would ever do it. I'm like, it was just like, you know, talk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're at a bar hanging out in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, but she stayed good. I mean, we stayed in touch over text. She invited us out to do her podcast, and the timing was kind of off. And
that's,
so hopefully we'll be doing that soon.
I completely forgot she had one,
yeah.
First off. But we've seen a couple of episodes, and I've always said, like, the person that would probably be most, like, attuned to at least us, like, personally, would be either Sheena to, like, allow us to do a podcast with her, her or Stassi, because
Stassi has hers. So we're hopefully we'll be doing that, you know, down the road here in a little bit. We were trying to get the truck done because we were supposed to go in March, right when her podcast was launching.
I was gonna ask, what's that like experience, like driving that sucker? Because that's
don't
gotta
ask
be
me.
it's cumbersome, you know. It's
a semi. I mean,
yeah, it's big. So
yeah.
You know, it's.
Do you need a special license to?
No,
like...
so it was built. It's just under the CDL.
Weight
limit
right
so,
under
way to like so way to save yourself right. some dough in the beginning.
Yeah, he got it just right under, and the plan was I was supposed to drive it, but I can barely drive my Mustang without hitting a curb, so that was like not gonna happen. I can't.
So I drive it and
he's my driver
up, but that's okay. I don't mind driving it. So
do you have your own business?
I mean,
yeah, so it's like, I was curious. I was like, you got to keep yourself availability wise. I mean, I'm assuming you have your own business because
work pretty much two full-time jobs right now.
He
so
does.
Crazy.
But,
yeah,
so I build cars and motorcycles for a living. So, and
but
yeah,
you're self-employed,
but I'm
so
self-employed, so I can kind of make my own hours.
Can I come see your garage?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that it's really
big. It's awesome stuff.
I build a lot of, I specialize in a lot of custom motor swaps and things like that.
Hence why I want to come see it.
Yeah,
I also, so what I do is, I don't mind, I guess, being behind the scenes too in my business. So I'll get a lot of shop owners that are trying to do LS swaps or Hemi swaps, and they can't kind of see it through.
Got it.
You know, they start the project and
got it.
There's a lot of technical aspects to getting it completed. So they hire me as a consultant to come in and kind of finish it at their shop.
So do you do a lot of like computer work with?
I
mean,
I do.
There's like,
so,
I'm assuming there's some engineering to it. And so are you on the CAD or?
So yeah, a lot of there's a lot of engineering. I weld and fabricate, but there's also a lot of custom wiring that needs to be done.
Got
and
it.
And he loves
tuning.
It.
Dude.
I also have an IT degree.
Oh, dude.
My background is. So I actually get into the tuning of the car's computers to be able to make it think it's in a new car, but be in a you know, 67 Camaro, but it's a motor from a 2005.
My dad has a 2009 Nissan Titan inside of a Ford, like, 95 or so, 202 or something like that. Like, it's just like a Frankenstein, I call it. But it runs, and the odometer doesn't work, or the speed odometer doesn't work. So, I mean, it turns on, it works, and it gets us from A to B, but it's like, I don't know how fast I'm going.
Right?
I just know that I'm shifting, like...
If you get pulled over, it's too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's ways to solve those issues now, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We're here about this.
Can we get back to me, please?
No. No. I just, like... it's just one of those things that's, like, it's so beautiful to see, like... people who have their own specialties and work together on something so beautifully put together and just to kind of know that I'm the kind of guy that, like, really nerds out, like, how did this all come to be? And that's really the juxtaposition of, like, both of your skill sets. And so, were you always, like, a fashionable person? Does that come from the Cali side of your family? Like, that's just you through and through?
Yeah, no, I've always been into fashion. I did fashion college in LA, and then, you know, life had gotten to banking and started making really good money. So, of course, when you start making really good money, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Like, so I'm like, all right, this is what I'm supposed to do. So, but it's funny. They always would call me, like, at work. I would always be, like, dressed up. I mean, I remember wearing, like, full-on princess skirts with the tulle under it to, like, when I'm banking and, like, sitting there, and everybody would always, you know, I'd be like the princess there with how I dressed, and that was always important to me. It just, you know, always was. And a lot of people think it's so superficial. A lot of people do, but the power of a good outfit, and, like, it goes beyond, like, I mean, you put on a good outfit, you're, like, put together, you really feel like you can kill it that day, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's powerful. It really is.
No, I definitely agree. I've seen this one just there's so many days where I'm like, what's going, like, who are you going to fire today?
Right?
I'm killing the pool game.
Right. Yeah. No, but you know, like, you know, I have days where when I get up and I'm just, like, in my, you know, I'm sitting on the couch and, you know, just doing buying or, you know, my computer work. And there are days if I don't get up and get fully dressed and hair and makeup, I'm not as productive. Like, because I feel like when you're dressed, kind of like, you know, how we all like to dress on weekends or, you know, whatever, like,
just the hangout clothes.
Yeah. It's like your brain kind of goes into a different place almost, like
downshifts into that hangout mode. Yeah.
And one of the most, you know, when girls come out, so I make a joke because when they come out of the fitting room and they always ask everyone, what do you think of what I'm wearing? Like, you know, how do I look? And I always ask them, well, how do you feel? And I remember one of my first customers, the mom, just kind of looked at me and she goes, yeah, honey, to her daughter, how do you feel? And she's like, I feel amazing. And I'm like, I can tell, like, immediately. And she came out in another shirt and I'm like, you hate it. And she's like, how'd you know? And I'm like, I can literally tell. Like,
yeah,
when you
I
come
can
out,
see it on your face.
I'm like,
yeah,
don't get it if you hate. And the mom, I remember saying to me, thank you for telling her that. Like, thank you for telling her it's okay, you know, how to feel and not. And I used to make a joke, I'm going to go bankrupt because I literally don't oversell. I'm like, if you hate it, don't buy it. I'm not the girl that's going to be like, it looks amazing. Like, get it.
That's how I was when in the retail game. I'm just like that kind of person. It's like, it's not going to ruin my day.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to pressure you into something that's not worth it. So it's like one of those things, like, take it or leave it. I think it's a good product.
Right.
I think it's such and such, but it's like, really could not be your thing. And
You know, and I don't want, I mean, one, I don't want returns. I mean, that's a small business. You don't want returns. So if I can tell immediately and someone's not going to like it, don't buy it. I don't want you to be happy and be like, look at this cool outfit I got, you know? And I'm, you know, of course, when everybody comes in and they pick something, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love that. And I realize I'm saying that. And I have to tell people, you understand, I literally curate everything. So I'm not a salesperson. I do honestly love everything that you have. Whether you're going to love it on, that's, you know, another story. But I will not, like, I'm not that girl. I'm not going to be like, it's amazing, get it. Even though, yes, buy it. I want, you know, to buy from me, but I don't want you miserable or to hate it.
Now, have you ever thought about maybe starting your own line or kind of getting into the actual like making of the fashion?
Yeah, that's actually, we're looking right now into like private label. We're hoping by next year that I'll have, you know, private label. We're actually, so Rolling Rack Boutique, we're kind of as new as we are, we're rebranding already a little bit.
Nice.
So it's going to be.
Do you mind who I ask who you're, who's like helping you with rebrand?
We actually need help with that.
Oh, I've got a slew of people that we can send you to.
No, that would be amazing, because we're actually, the person I had, it's not working. So
we have one very close personal friend that that she's really good at what
she does. No, please give me her info, because we, so we're going to go to kind of RRB instead of Rolling Rack Boutique. We're going to go RRB Collective.
Nice.
And that's going to be with, we're looking at a little brick and mortar store, very small.
Okay.
That we're going to open. That's going to be kind of a headquarters and just a little small place day to day. Because, you know, as I've said before, the blessing is, of course, I don't have daily rent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the curse is I'm now getting a following that's asking me on Monday and Tuesday, where are you today? Yeah. We want to come shop. And even though I can say I'm online, shop 24/7, free shipping, these girls still want to come in.
Yeah.
I don't really like shopping for clothes online. Like you know, so that's kind of when I started noticing, I'm like, well, crap, I'm losing out on this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing now.
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, we're not going to get this huge space. We are, you know, the space we're looking at right now is 700 square feet. It's going to be Old Town Scottsdale. Just kind of gives you a little storefront, an office, little place that I can have day to day. But the truck, of course, is what gets me the attention. So that's still going to be out at Scottsdale Quarter, different events. But just a little place I can direct people to, you know, on those off days.
Yeah.
Where I'm not paying $100,000 a month in rent.
Well, it's one of those things. Yeah. Like, I've seen a couple of different scenarios. I've seen guys that, like, with the food trucks, they tweet out where they're going to be the morning of, or, like, the week. Like, they do their whole week schedule and things like that. And I've always kind of been curious, like, does that inhibit, you know, the people who are your fans to, like, you know, I can't make it out to that side of town or that sort of thing. And it's just, I think you're going about it the right way. You have a headquarters, you have the mobility part already set,
right?
And just kind of like go back and forth between those two.
Right. And I'm trying to, you know, the good thing is as we go out, we can figure out where we work and where we don't work. You know, there's certain parts of the state or town we don't work, like, and it's depressing. Like, I will sit there, you know, like downtown Gilbert, and live in Gilbert, and it's just, we can't make it work there. But I am going there this weekend. I kept trying to say it's the summer, maybe that's why, but I can't say that, because then I'm at Kierland and Scottsdale Quarter and I'm killing it all summer. You know, it's tough, but I am going there this weekend, and that's why I want to have kind of I think this is hurting me, is I don't have a set schedule. Scottsdale Quarter, now we've signed with them. That's going to be our every other weekend home. Mm-hmm. But I do need to fill that void those other times, and I'm still trying to figure out where that's going to fit.
Yeah.
I'm giving Gilbert another chance this weekend. We want Gilbert to work so bad, but it's a conservative town. It's rough.
I would always say it's like, you just got to keep pushing and pushing for that. And we'll, you know, we love helping out in any way that we can. So if you have like that set schedule, send it to us, and we'll put it out in the newsletter or whatever we need to do, because that sort of thing really helps with the community and helping them understand that you guys are the mobile type. And so these are your places. And so we want to be able to be that kind of foundation for everyone, is like, hey, you got your favorite person, they've been on our episode, we have all their information. You know that they are such and such. Go check out our page. We have all the info for you guys.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
So, it's like one of those things. It's like, we started this to really promote other people and kind of help out every person that comes in here as much as we can. And so we have to facilitate that by doing the things that we do, newsletter. And it just kind of comes with the business. Right. I mean, if you own a business, you kind of want to keep your clients up to date. Right. You have a newsletter, you have a blog, this is the podcast. This is more of like highlighting the actual in-depth part. And so it's just really one of those things. It's like, we would love so much to just have the entire intro, which is our, like, we tell everyone, like, our community quirk board that we have. It's like, we want that to be like a 5-minute long thing. Like, that's really kind of important for us to kind of show everyone we're a part of the community. We're not going anywhere. This is us. This is come to us. So,
that's just amazing.
I wish you guys nothing but the best. Like, this has been so much fun. Like, because seriously, you guys have something really cool going on. And I just, like, one of my last questions, and then I'm going to ask Brittany. Brittany, we usually have, Brittany has a little question corner that, but my last question will be, you know, why choose a retail business store? And why choose something like, was that something because of you've enjoyed doing it? Or what about that retail aspect keeps you motivated?
So like why the boutique basically?
Yeah.
Why? So I love, my favorite things are buying. I love buying. I love, you know, being curating is my thing. That was what I went to fashion school for, was styling and buying.
Okay.
And so those are my favorite pieces. When we get big enough, those will be my only pieces. I won't be in the store as much because that's where I feel I do best. I mean, I love people and I love being out there, but I just love putting together fashion to make people happy. I mean, that's my
bread and butter
thing. Yeah, and it's my thing. So, that's styling and buying and all the photo shoots are so fun. They're really fun.
Bet.
They're tiring, but they're fun.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Brit's Corner. Do, 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 do.
I like it. I like it. It's getting better.
We try and come up with like some corner, some sort of corny little jingle.
I like
the
jingle.
You need to bring the piano in here.
Yes.
We'll totally do that next
You
time.
Need to.
So I want to know, do you have like a favorite piece or something that like when you get it in, you're like, I don't want this to go away. I kind of want this for me. Do you ever have like those moments?
He's like every other day.
Yeah, every do you know how hard it is?
She's like, one for me, one for the, you know, so, you know, she's curating what she likes, but also what other people like.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that I'm getting that I can't wear. And, you know, like in my selection, I truly do have moms and daughters. My mom's 73 and she shops, like she finds things that she likes. And what I love of like Scottsdale Quarter, the moms and daughters are all shopping together. So I really do work hard to have that
range
covered.
Yeah.
Like I really do. So, but there are some things that I'm like, I'll tell him, what did I get? I got that kimono with the faux fur blue cuffs and I go, I don't care. This is mine. I pulled it like right away. Like there's a few things that he's like, what it's in the closet already. I literally took it out of the box, steamed it and put it in my closet. So there are a few pieces where I'm like, all right, this is mine. I gotta have it. But I try, obviously I need to like sell, the shoes. But I got to sell it, but I also have to wear it too. I have to be representing. So
yeah,
but there's right now there's a kimono with these faux fur bright blue cuffs and it's the most amazing thing in the world.
Did you just got a kimono, right?
Oh, I got a lot of
She's
dusters.
Like, I've got a few. Oh yeah.
Dusters
same kind of thing.
Favorite.
Kimono,
yeah.
Dust. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Aren't they the best?
Live in them.
I know. And with fall. Yeah. So like
you're speaking her language.
Right.
All right. Well, this is we're reaching the end here. So this is the last part of it. We usually kick it off to you guys to tell everyone where they can find you online and also where they can find you physically and where anything and everything. This is your chance to plug away.
Oh, don't tell me that. I'll talk.
No. It's okay. Go.
All right. We are shoprollingrack.com. Instagram is the best place to find me, where most people communicate with me, which is also shoprollingrack. We now have a home with Scottsdale Quarter. We will be there every other weekend starting next weekend, which is September 21st, I think.
22nd,
yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, so we actually are starting Friday, Saturday,
perfect.
And Sunday next
first.
Week.
Yeah.
So from that date forward, we will be there every other weekend.
Cool.
And then if anyone has suggestions for us, we are looking for a home in between those weekends. We're in downtown Gilbert right now. We do First Friday in Phoenix. So we're always there. And we always want suggestions for if anyone has a place they see that they think we'd be a good fit in. And we also are starting to do corporate lunches now.
Nice.
Executive buildings. So we're starting that where we were rolling up with the food trucks into big corporate buildings for lunch break. So
nice. Keep
Oh yeah, do private events. Girls' night in, girls' night out, styling parties. Yeah, we do all of it.
All of it. Nice. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you. Everyone
can find our episodes at findingarizonapodcast.com. You can reach out to us through social media under Finding Arizona Podcast, under everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We make it easy for you guys to reach out to us. Last but not least, go check out patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast, where we have an extra episode. It's called Fine Examination, where we ask 50 questions of our guests of the week. And it's easy. It's just what you like, what you don't like, and what in between. Everything. So if you want to listen to that, patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. And with that, we say goodbye to our guests.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. See ya.